couple of days ago, and I had mentioned, I said, oh, I heard that there are a lot of serving ones. Maybe I don't need to come or something like that. And I'm so glad I came. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I walked in to the special fellowship on the Lord's coming and our preparation. And the conclusion of that message was consecrations. That was very powerful to see young people. 100 and something, right? 136 of you came, one after another, to give yourself to the Lord. To give the Lord permission to stop you at any time.
Amen.
To ask for the Lord to not to let you go astray. And to give this coming semester to the Lord. To give your life to the Lord. The Lord will never forget that. The Lord will never forget your consecration. It is precious to Him to have a group of young people that are willing to give themselves in the day of the of His warfare. Today is the day of His warfare.
Amen.
And He's calling us. And I'm so glad so many of you are answering the call.
Amen.
So that He could wrap up this age, bring in the kingdom, and consummate the New Jerusalem. That's what He wants to do. So I'm so happy that I could be have a little part in this.
Amen.
Sharing tonight. We come to message or lesson 14, the body of Christ and our regenerated spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This whole summer school has been dedicated to the matter of the two spirits, the divine spirit and the human spirit. And when the human spirit is not containing the divine spirit, it's just the human spirit deadened. But by the Lord's mercy, the word of God reached us, somebody preached the gospel to us, or we were reading the word, and we got saved.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means we turn our heart to the Lord, we opened, and we realized, I'm a sinner. I need you, Lord Jesus. Come into me.
Amen.
Wash away my sins.
Amen.
When a person does that with an open heart, the triune God comes into that person as the Spirit.
Amen.
And the spirit of man becomes the dwelling place of God. Young people, the triune God dwells in your spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is wonderful. Not many people know this. So we are very privileged to know this. But the Lord doesn't just want us to know this. He wants us to live by the Spirit.
Amen.
To walk by the Spirit. Last night, Brother Timothy shared with us that the Spirit ranks with the whole creation. Right? The word of Jehovah came, and he stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth. And he formed the spirit of man within him. The spirit of man is very important to God. And it was God's desire that man would live and walk and have his being by his spirit.
Amen.
So our real person is our spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. A real person is our mingled spirit.
Amen.
A real person is our regenerated spirit.
Amen.
It's the spirit that was deadened, but now has received the life of God. And not only the life of God, it's God Himself.
Amen.
That dwells in our spirit.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
We should be so happy.
Amen.
We should be ecstatic.
Amen.
That the triune God dwells in my spirit.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. The triune God dwells in your spirit. And He desires that all of us would live by the Spirit. And this morning we saw how the Lord desires that we would serve Him. And that we would serve Him in spirit.
Amen.
When the Apostle Paul speaks about his service, he speaks about how he served God in His spirit. In the gospel of His Son. So part of our service to God in spirit is in the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. Where does the gospel come from? It comes from the overflow. It is the overflow of the life of God that is within us, that wants to reach others. So we may find ourselves in our classroom. We may find ourselves in a bus. We may find ourselves in our cubicle at work. And the Lord has someone that he's burdened for. And we have a sense, I need to pray for that person. And then we may realize, oh, I need to pray with someone about my coworker or about my colleague at work or about my classmate, my lab partner. He needs to be saved. So it is out of that, who put in you that desire to pray for a person that they would receive God's life? Is the indwelling spirit. Is the very God who desires all men to be saved. That is the God who dwells in us. The God who desires all men to be saved is in us. So we get a burden, we pray, and by the Lord's mercy, in his sovereignty, he arranges that we hit a car in the parking lot. Right, Brother Timothy? He told us last night, right? He hit a car parked in the parking lot, and he tried to get in touch with this person to make amends and to restitute to this person. But this person considered, that's nothing. So eventually our brother saw him, and he went. And he apologized, and he wanted to pay for the damage or whatever. But the person said, no, don't worry about it. And then Brother Timothy left, and then the Lord wouldn't let him go. And he tried to say something about the Lord. And the man said, I respect everybody who believes in everything, in anything, whatever, whatever. Then Brother Timothy left again. But then the Lord wouldn't let him go. And then he came back. And then the person got saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It seemed that, what a bummer that I hit a car with my car. But you know what the Bible says? We should give thanks to the Lord in all things.
Amen.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should give thanks to the Father. For everything.
Amen.
Lord, thank you. I hit that car.
Wow.
Oh, Lord. Right? That man got saved. That was the overflow of life. What if Brother Timothy didn't pay attention to the Spirit moving in his spirit that wouldn't let him go? I always, Lord, he's okay. He doesn't want any money. He respects everybody. It's okay. But God wouldn't let him go. And our brother cooperated with the moving God. What a mercy to cooperate with the moving God. Praise the Lord. So this is the one who dwells in us. And this whole lesson is on the body of Christ and our regenerated spirit. And it's basically focused on the epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. And the subject of the book of Ephesians is the church. I'd like to read to you what the subject is. The subject of the book of Ephesians is the church, the mystery of Christ, the body of Christ, as the fullness of Christ, becoming the fullness of God. And this book, which subject is the church, is very particular in that in every chapter of this book, the mingled spirit is mentioned.
Amen.
Which shows us that to realize the body of Christ, we must live, walk, and have our being in our spirit.
Amen.
First, the first thing that we need to do, according to the revelation in the book of Ephesians, is we need to see. In the book of John, in the Gospel of John in chapter 3, Nicodemus came to the Lord, and he was looking for more teaching. But the Lord told him that he needed another life. And the Lord told him, unless a man is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus tried to say something. And then the Lord told him again in verse 5, he said, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I'd like you to make a note here. In spiritual matters, seeing is equal to entering. Seeing is entering. So if we want to live in the body of Christ, we have to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to see the body of Christ.
Amen.
Lord, show me the body of Christ.
Right.
Lord, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen. That I would know the body, that I would see the body. You know, the reason I called this hymn on It Was For Her, the first time I heard that hymn, it was, somebody put it on YouTube or something, and I put it on my Facebook or something, I forget. But I saw it, and I remember watching that video, that little video of that hymn, and my tears just started to pour out. It was for her. And then it's all these pictures from all the saints all over the earth. It was for her. It was for her. It was for her. Brothers and sisters, we are in something beyond our dreams. God, in His mercy, has brought us into His heart's desire. There is something in God's heart that makes Him happy. There is something that caused Him to endure the cross and despise the shame because He saw the joy set before Him. He endured the cross. Have you ever considered? Here is the God of the universe who is incarnated, is in the womb of a virgin for 9 months, it's delivered as a little child, and grows as a man for 30 years, and then at 30, he goes into his ministry. And at the end of that ministry, he gets rewarded with death. He's put on the cross. But he knew what he wanted. He knew that in order to obtain a group of people that would be filled with his life, that would be his counterpart, he had to pay the price of dying on behalf of all men. That all of those who believe into him would not perish, but would have eternal life.
Amen.
And then those who have eternal life could be formed into his precious body, the church, the bride. He did that very purposefully. God is a God of purpose. He went to the cross to obtain that bride. And you and I make part of it.
Amen.
You and I are part of that bride.
Right.
Lord Jesus, thank you for making me part of the bride of Christ, for regenerating me, for at one time reaching me with the gospel, and later on bringing me into the church.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. We are blessed beyond belief. Of all men on earth, we are most blessed. Why? Because we are in God's move. Because we are in what God wants to do. And we have the opportunity to give our whole being, like some of you did the other night, so that He would gain what He desires.
Amen.
Young people, it's not a small thing to be able to give our lives to the Lord. To say, Lord, my life is yours, my future is yours, everything I am, everything I have, everything I can do is for you and for your purpose. That's what's on his heart. In Matthew 16, he said, I will build my church. That's the greatest prophecy in the whole Bible. The Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Hallelujah. That means they will try, but they will not prevail. That means there is a battle for us to give ourselves for God's purpose. But be assured, the gates of Hades will not prevail. So if you ask the Lord today, what are you doing, Lord? What is he doing according to what he told us he's going to do? He is building the church. So he's gaining this group of people and he's building them. He's building us as his counterpart, as his masterpiece, as his body, as the new man. In Ephesians chapter 1, in the note 1, I'd like to read this to you. It says, this book speaks particularly of the church and unveils the church in its seven aspects. The body of Christ, the fullness of the expression of the one who fills all in all, the new man, a corporate man having not only the life of Christ, but also his person, the kingdom of God with the saints and its citizens possessing its right and bearing its responsibilities, for the household of God, a family full of the life of life and enjoyment, 5, the dwelling place of God in which we may live, universally a holy temple in the Lord and locally the dwelling place of God in our spirit, and 6, the bride, the wife of Christ, for Christ's rest and satisfaction, and 7, the warrior, a corporate fighter who deals and defeats God's enemy to accomplish God's eternal purpose. Brothers and sisters, what the Lord wants is a builded church. And for that, our regenerated spirit is crucial. And the first matter that I mentioned was the matter of seeing. So in chapter 1, after there is the introduction, and then there is the blessings, then the apostle expresses his thanksgiving to the Lord for the saints in Ephesus. And then he's praying for them that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him. That's a prayer from the apostle. He prayed for us that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. What does that mean? That the church, I cannot see the church by watching that video on YouTube. That's not what showed me the church. The church can only be shown to you by the Spirit, in your spirit.
Amen.
Lord, show me the church.
Amen.
A little sidebar. Before I got married, I told my wife, if you don't see the church, I can't marry you. That's right, because I'm for the church.
Amen.
And she's not for the church, then it'll be unequally yoked. Then we'll try to go on together, but we will not be able. Praise the Lord, my wife sees the church.
Amen.
She said, I see the church. I said, okay. No, but I saw that she saw. You think it's a small thing to see the church? Brothers and sisters, that sets the direction of our being. What we see is what we can give ourselves to. If you see the church, if you see the preciousness of the church, if you see that everything that God is doing has to do with this marvelous entity, then I can align my being and say, okay, Lord, I want to be one with you in what you want, and I give myself for what you want. You want the church? I give myself to the church. And if I don't see the church, I have to ask the Lord, Lord, in your mercy, open the eyes of my heart that I may see the church. You know, in the verse continue, it says, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. And what are the riches of the glory? No. And what it says here, the eyes of your heart, verse 18, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That prayer has to do with us seeing the riches of Christ in a group of people the Bible calls saints.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, when you see the saints, do you see the riches of Christ? Or do you just see a group of people, just maybe peculiar and particular? And according to your concept, you see them a certain way. when we see each other in the church, we have to see Christ. We have to see the riches of Christ that are in each one of us. That's what's attractive in the church. Our brother told us the other night, said he was in a home meeting, and this person came, and he started to take pictures of the saints. Then he asked, you don't know any of them, but you're taking pictures. And he said, I never seen people like this. You know what? The Spirit was doing an unveiling work on that person, that he would see the riches of Christ in the saints. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power? This is also something the Lord wants us to see. Not only does he want us to see here, not only does he want us to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we would see the riches of Christ in the saints, but he wants us to see what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Let me ask you, are you a believer?
Amen.
Towards you, that is great power.
Amen.
What does that mean? The power that raised Jesus from the dead is for us. The power that seated Jesus in the heavenlies, which is the ascending power, is to us. So let me read you the verses. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the operation of the might of his strength, which he caused to operate in Christ in raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come.
Amen.
And what else? And he subjected all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Resurrection power, ascending power, the power that caused him to be head over all things, the heading up power. Right? And the subjecting power is all to us who believe.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, somebody said in one of the sharings about it was our brother this morning. He talked to us about in our spirit, there is, what did he say? No, he said something like inexhaustible supply. Where is that? That's the power of resurrection. That's the power of ascension. That's the heading of power. That's the subjecting power that is operating in the believers. Are you a believer? You may be able to experience the resurrection power, the ascending power. Where may you be able to do this? You may be in a situation in which you're being put down. You're being brought down, maybe by sin, maybe by your friends, maybe by pressure. Right there, remember, there is a dynamo in my spirit full of power. And this can catapult me out of here into the third heavens.
Amen.
Have you seen those hero movies? Sometimes they just push a button and they go somewhere. Ascending power. That's your spirit. Learn to use your spirit in the midst of difficult situations. Remember, that power is toward us who believe. In the midst of darkness, the Lord can be light to you. You know, in Psalm 139, it says that even if I go in darkness, it says, darkness is day to you. What is that? That's your spirit. You may be in a situation of darkness, but you turn to your spirit. Light is there. Because God is there. Because the power of resurrection is there. The power of ascension is there. And you know, our call as believers is that we would be headed up in all things in Christ. Right? So in our day, in our daily situations, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, teach me to cooperate with you so that I would be headed up by you in all things. Head me up in my studies. Head me up in my relationship with my parents. Head me up in my relationship with my peers. Lord, head me up in all things. Amen. I don't want to be a part of the collapse, of the universal collapse that is the result of the fall. God has called us out of that.
Amen.
And he wants to head us up.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for this power that is toward us who believe. But where is that, brothers and sisters? That is, how about this, we say that? That is in my spirit.
Amen.
That is in my spirit. Your spirit is powerful. Because God, the God of the universe, is there. Oh, it's just blows my mind to consider the God of the universe is in my spirit.
Amen.
The very God who called light out of darkness is the one who is in me as the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is the treasure in us. And we need to learn how to tap into that dynamo in our being that is able to overcome death, sin, Satan, temptation. Everything is there in our spirit. Praise the Lord for our spirit.
Amen.
If we start learning our spirit this way, and if we start taking care of our spirit in the way we've been taught this week, by what? By caring, by exercising the functions of our spirit, by confessing our sins, right? By having fellowship with the Lord, right? By learning to follow the teaching of the anointing. All these things will make, listen, will make the church real to you.
Amen.
The church is real.
Amen.
The church is an entity God is building.
Right.
And we're part of it by birth. But if we remain outside of our spirit, church, what church? What? We have no thought that there is this thing going on in the universe.
Right.
Because it's happening in another realm.
Right.
It's in spirit. Oh, Lord, my spirit.
Amen.
Don't you love your spirit?
Amen.
Praise the Lord for our spirit. Then in chapter 2, as we move on in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, then it gives us a background of the how dark we were. We were dead in our offenses and sins, but God had mercy on us. Praise the Lord for this. And, you know, it just develops and shows us how God produces the church and how he builds the church. So at the end of chapter 2, there is a series of verses. Verses 19-22 say, "So then you're no longer strangers and sojourners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." You know, before, we had nothing to do with God. We were separated from God.
Right.
We were alienated from the covenant. I'm not a Jew. Are you a Jew?
No.
I had nothing to do with the people of God. I had nothing to do with the promises of God. But I have been made near in the blood of Christ.
Amen.
So it says here, being built. So let me read 19 again. "So then you're no longer strangers and sojourners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." So by birth, we were brought into the kingdom of God, and by birth, we were made members of the household of God. "Being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord." In whom you also, Ephesians, are being built together into a dwelling place of God in Queens. No. Sorry. In spirit.
Amen.
Not at Maple Hill Avenue, right? Where we meet there. That's not the church. That's just a meeting place. And the church meets there sometimes. Right? Okay. So God's building, right, is both universal and local. And when it refers to the universal building, it says that it's a temple in the Lord. It says, "In whom all the building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit." in spirit there is not capital S. It's lowercase s, which points to our mingled spirit, to a regenerated spirit. Where am I being built? I'm being built in my spirit.
Amen.
You know, the Lord is the spirit. And he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit. The Lord is in my spirit, and my spirit is in the Lord. The temple in the Lord is being built, and that's universal. But that temple being built universally takes a local expression. That is in my locality where I am built with others, not because I speak Spanish and we just like rice and beans. No. It's not because I speak Chinese or Korean. It's because we are members of the body of Christ.
Amen.
We have been released from all culture, and we have been brought into God's building.
Amen.
And I'm being built with others in my spirit.
Amen.
Whether they're Spanish, Korean, American, white, black, whatever. As long as it's in my spirit, right, that is the building.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? Brothers and sisters, let's be built in our spirit,
amen,
in our localities. Let's enter into the church life. Without the exercise of our spirit, without having all this experience that we've been talking about this week, about having a clear conscience, about having thorough fellowship with the Lord, about learning to follow the moving of the Lord in my spirit, I won't be able to be built with others. I will remain in my peculiarity. I will remain in my culture. I will remain in my own opinion about what the church is. Because if I am my opinion, I am not in my spirit. So I need to move out of what I think about the church, and I need to enter into the spirit so the Lord can show me the church and I can be built with others in the spirit.
Amen.
That building takes place in your locality. Young people, I know some of you have companions, right? That's very profitable. That's very good that you're having this kind of experience as a young person, that you can pursue the Lord together. If you're really touching the Lord, the things of the Lord in your spirit, there is genuine building happening. There is something eternal happening between you and another person. That's what the Lord wants. That's why it's so important that we would be related like that, twos and threes, in a small way. So that what? So that when I am having a hard time, which I have sometimes, right, I can open and I can pray. Ask you, brothers, could you pray for me? I'm going through a hard time. And then when you're going through a hard time, you can open and we can pray for you. Or I am burdened for someone, like I spoke earlier. We can pray and then we can go preach the gospel together.
Amen.
What about that novel idea, instead of just going, catching Pokemon at the mall, go get some sinners at the mall.
Amen.
But that needs prayer. That needs building. And that needs your spirit. You know, I was in Brazil, and one of the brothers came. He says, what is this Pokemon thing? He didn't... Pokemon. I didn't even know how to say it. I didn't know what it was. But be careful. Be careful. Somebody testify, I'm a master Pokemon person here. I would like to hear, I am built with all the saints in my locality. That's a master. Anyway, then I went to Peru, the same thing. They were, oh Lord. You know, Satan uses many things to get us out of our spirit. And that very thing, or it could be many things, they could become our master. You think you're a master? You're being mastered by that thing. Oh, Lord Jesus, we need to be built up with others in spirit. I would like to hear a report. Oh, the young people in such and such a church, they prayed, and on Saturday night they went to the mall and they sang and they preached the gospel. Hallelujah. That'd be awesome. Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we do that? Let's do it. Let's come together and pray. Let's go preach the gospel. Don't you think there are many young people like you that need to know about the Lord? And that will be a real entrance for you into the church life. You get somebody saved. I know many of you have had the experience. We've gone out to the train station. We've gone out in Manhattan. We've gone out many places. And you come back and you're a different person. Because somebody received life through you. You were the conduit of life. And the triune God passed through you and got into another person. And now you're so happy. But that shouldn't be a once in a while experience. That should be part of our living. And what about if our young people would have that kind of thought? Let's preach the gospel. Some of you play the guitar so well. Some of you have beautiful voices. You know, people are attracted to singing. We still have like a month and a half of warm weather. Let's use it. Amen. Let's go to the parks and declare that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Let's tell people the Lord is coming. And you need to get ready. And I know how to get you ready. I have the key. Let's do it. Amen. Why not? What else are you doing? Pokemon Go? Oh, Lord Jesus. Have mercy on us. Stirred up our spirit.
Amen.
It's in our spirit that the building takes place. It's in our spirit that we can see the Lord. And you know, in chapter 3, it goes on and it mentions that we need to be strengthened with power through His Spirit into our inner man.
Amen.
Yes, we need power to preach the gospel. Yes, we need power to have a proper living in our Christian life every day. Don't you think we need power every day to live the Christian life? I need power every day to live the Christian life. If I don't tap into that power, I'm defeated from the moment I get up. Done for the day. Oh, Lord, need to turn. In chapter 3, let's go to chapter 3. Wait, let me read something here. I have footnote 22:4 in chapter 2. Footnote 22:4. The believer's human spirit, which is indwelled by God's Holy Spirit, God's spirit is the dweller, not the dwelling place. The dwelling place is the believer's spirit. God's Spirit dwells in our spirit. Therefore, the dwelling place of God is in our spirit. Verse 21 says that the holy temple is in the Lord, and this verse, that the dwelling place of God is in spirit. This indicates that for the building of God's dwelling place, the Lord is one with our spirit, and our spirit is one with the Lord. Our spirit is where the building of the church, the dwelling place of God, takes place. Wow, amazing. It's in my spirit that the building of the church takes place. No wonder we have to pay so much attention to our spirit. Because it's there that the dwelling place, that the building takes place. So going on to chapter 3. In chapter 3, Ephesians 3, 14 through 19 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, of whom every family in the heavens and on the earth is named." How about sisters? Could you read 16? Ephesians 3:16 and brothers 17 and then 18 and 19. may be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth are, and to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. You know, in chapter 3, the apostle unveils basically God's economy and how he was chosen by God to open the eyes of people and that they would know what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God who created all things, and that through the church, the multifarious wisdom of God would be made known according to what? To the eternal purpose which he made in Christ Jesus. So he unveils this, and then his prayer is that the saints would experience Christ. Amen. So that they would enter into that building. So we need the strengthening of our spirit to experience Christ for the church. We need the strengthening of our spirit to experience Christ for the church. So he prayed that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit into the inner man, that Christ wants to make his home in our hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints. With all the saints. Amen. What the breadth and length and height and depth are, and to know the knowledge surpassing love of God, of Christ, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the strengthening of our spirit, or the strengthening of our inner man by the Spirit of God, is so that Christ may make his home in our hearts. Okay, so I have this diagram here, and this part that is red is the heart, right? So these are the inward parts and the hidden part. Remember that? The inward parts and the hidden part. And in order for us to be built into the body, we need to deal with our troublesome emotions, right? With our wandering mind, with our stubborn will, and with our conscience that may be offended. So this whole thing here in red is our heart that is the entrance and the exit of our being. So if we want to open our being to God, what we need to turn? We need to turn our heart to the Lord. Amen. And we know that if the heart is turned, then the veil is taken away. Amen. And then we can behold the Lord, right? And so in order to be built in our spirit, we need to deal with the parts of our soul, or with the functions of our soul, because they oppose the building. The natural mind has thoughts about what the church should be, and not according to God. My will doesn't want to let my body go to the meetings. It's stubborn. It doesn't want to preach the gospel when the Lord tells me, preach the gospel to that person. No, not today. I'm tired, Lord. Oh, Lord. And my emotions fluctuate. If it's sunny, I'm happy. If it's overcast, I'm down. Oh, Lord Jesus. We need to deal with all those parts, right? And then the prayer here is that the Lord would strengthen us with power through his spirit into our inner man. Amen. That Christ may make his home in our heart. He wants to make his home in my mind, in my will, in my emotion, in my conscience. He wants that to be his home. Amen. Right now, he's in my spirit, and he moves in my spirit. But I have to cooperate with him to allow him the room in my heart. So for that, the apostle pray, Lord, Father, strengthen them through your spirit into the inner man so that Christ may make his home in their hearts through faith, so that they may be able to apprehend with all the saints. Whenever you have revelation and you're in a meeting, that means these parts in your being are open for the flow of the life of God. So the life of God moves, and then you see something you've never seen. Somebody reads a verse, and then you realize, oh my goodness, this is what it means. Who gave you that revelation? That was the strengthening of your spirit. And who were you with? You were with all the saints. Amen. And in that setting, the Lord is able to unveil things that he can't unveil any other way. Praise the Lord for the meetings.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, come to the meetings of the church.
Amen.
And be a factor of life in the meetings. You can be a factor of life. You can be sitting there, you can be praying, and you can be exercising, or you can be there playing on your phone, Pokemon Go. Or you can be doing something even more defiling than that. Oh, Lord Jesus, right there in the meeting, in the midst of the meeting. Oh, Lord, the Lord wants to make his home in our heart through faith. And for that, he strengthens us with power into our inner man, that we may be able to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth are. And you know what the result of that is? That we are filled with the fullness of God.
Amen.
Who is in our spirit?
Christ.
Who is Christ? In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he is in you. But he wants to spread, and he wants to be your fullness. He wants to occupy every part of your being. In this way, he becomes the fullness of God in you. Isn't that awesome? God wants to become our fullness. So when God becomes our fullness, you know whom we express? We express whom we are filled with. What does the mouth speak? What the heart is full of. What is the heart full of? If it's Christ, you know what will come out of you? Christ. But not in a weird way. Christ is very human. Do you understand? The more spiritual we become, the more human and approachable we become. You read Luke chapter 15. The Lord Jesus was there, and he says, the prostitutes and the tax collector were coming to Jesus. Why? They were just attracted to this person. And then the Pharisees murmur, ah, look at this. He eats with tax collectors and sinners. And then he gave them the parable, right? Those three parables about the son going to get the sheep that is lost. If one if has 100 and loses one, he goes after the one, right? And then the woman that loses a coin, and then she sweeps until she finds it. And then the father is waiting. That's the triune God in his salvation, reaching man. And you know, if he's in us, if he's filling us, you know, up to the brim, to the fullness, there is something very attractive about Christ. And I would say this, there is something very attractive about a Christ-filled person. You're just attracted to that person. It's not something physical. It's not something. It's the spirit that emanates Christ, and that attracts you. Have you ever had this experience? Maybe you had a Good Morning Revival that morning, you sang some hymns, and then you went to school, and then you find yourself singing in the bus, and people are like, what is this guy smoking? And you just tell them, I just had a time with Jesus. Yes. This happened many times to me when I went to work. I would go, I would have my morning time, and I would just go into that factory singing. Like people, man, this guy's so happy. Praise the Lord, it's Monday.
Yeah.
Hallelujah for another week.
Yeah.
People are like, Monday blues. Anyway, God can fill us to the brim.
Amen.
And we can overflow to others. And that is very attractive. Then in chapter 4, you know, after chapter 4, the book of chapter 3, then comes chapters 4 through 6 are very, very, very practical. You know, first we have revelation, which is heavenly, and then we have the living. We need to have a living every day. And our living should be one in which we keep the oneness of the body, right? We're diligent to keep the oneness of the spirit, right? And then we have certain things that we do in our daily life. Here, chapter 4, it says, the living and responsibility needed in the body, the keeping of the oneness of the spirit, then the functioning of the gifts, and the growth of the building up of the body of Christ. Aren't you thankful that there are joints and there are members in the body? There are joints of the rich supply that perfect us, that help us to go on. I'm so happy we have some members that can perfect us and help us to go on. And then together, we and them, we labor together and the body is built up together in love. Right? And so, as we go on in our experience, in our daily life, there are certain details of our daily living. And I just like to read from, this is from verse 17 in chapter 4 on. Okay, I'm going to read to you. Please pay attention. Follow me. Don't leave, okay? Stay in your spirit. Amen. Stay with me. Amen. Okay? This therefore I say and testify in the Lord that you no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk in the vanity of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance which is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you did not so learn Christ. Amen. Hallelujah for learning Christ. Amen. Learning Christ. To learn Christ is to put off the old man and put on the new man. Okay, so here. If indeed you have heard and have been taught as the reality is in Jesus, then that you put off as regards your former manner of life, the old man, which is being corrupted according to the lust of the deceit. And this is the verse. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's declare that verse together. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's make that a prayer. Lord, renew the spirit of my mind. And put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness of the reality. Okay, so here in chapter 4, after we have seen the body, we are being built in the body, we have been strengthened into our inner man, the apostle brings us to this point where we have to put off the old man. That means our old manner of life, right? Our old man was put off in baptism. But what happens? It hunts us in our daily living. We are brought back to live according to not the spirit. Do you follow me? To live according to our own likes, to our own dislikes, to our own preferences. So if we're in that, we are living according to our own manner of life. But in order for us to get off that garment, it's like a garment. You have to put it off, take it off, take off the old man. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, in Romans chapter 12, the apostle exhorts us by the compassions of God to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is our most reasonable service. And then he tells us, and that you would not be fashioned according to this age, but that you would be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may know what the will of God is. Okay? Our mind needs to be renewed. Our mind is renewed when it receives the element of the Spirit into it. And then it becomes the spirit of our mind. If our mind is not renewed, then our unrenewed mind directs our being to live according to the old man. We live according to not God. We live according to our own preference. We just do this and do that and don't. Sir, do you follow me? Okay. But if our mind is renewed, if we allow the Spirit to come into our mind, the Spirit becomes the Spirit of our mind. In other words, the Spirit directs our mind. And you know what the beauty of this is? that when the Spirit renews our mind, because the mind is the leading part of the soul, it affects the will and the emotion. Amen. So let the Spirit into your mind. Amen. And how do you let the Spirit into your mind? By reading the Bible. We need to read the Bible. We need to be educated. Our concepts need to be changed by the Word of God. Oh, Lord Jesus. If we're just quote, Sunday-going Christians, and we don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, and we don't have a personal relationship with the Bible, then we just remain holy and touch and natural. And yes, we are saints in the church, but we are not in the building. Do you understand? Because building takes place in our spirit. Amen. And my spirit needs to become the spirit of my mind. So it will affect my will, my choices, my emotions are tempered by God. My thoughts now are the thoughts of God. I'm concerned for the things of God. And I give myself to the things of God. Because my mind, which is my soul, which is the leading part of my soul, affects my will and my emotion. And actually, look at this. Plus, the conscience is the entrance and exit of my being. So I can direct. Now the mind is, now is the spirit of the mind. Now I can direct easier towards God. I find reading the Bible something very refreshing. As to before, it was a chore. Now it's a supply. Because the spirit is being fed. And my mind is being renewed. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I was thinking about this, you know. We are like, we're in this summer school is like, you're opening like God's heart. Or actually God's heart is opening to us. And we're able to see how things work. It's like if we were in a lab looking at some kind of very convoluted circuitry. And then a master is opening and telling us exactly how things work. And then he's telling us how to put this cable with that, and this with that, and then this makes that happen. And then you have this. This is what's happening. So we are being equipped so that we could live a life in the church. So that we could have a rich church life.
Amen.
As a young person, church doesn't need to be boring to you. Because you know your spirit. You've seen the church. And going back to this matter of seeing the church. If you see that the church is what God desires, what makes him happy, and you see that the church is, you know, in your locality, this is what's happening. You're being built up with others. And this is giving the Lord the way to be brought back. Young people, there is nothing else that should catch our attention to give ourselves to. You know what I mean? This is the God of the universe who's showing us what he desires. And we can make a choice to give ourselves to him in that way. Praise the Lord. Okay. In chapter 5 of Ephesians, continues the matter, you know, still practical, and is the matter of being filled in spirit.
Amen.
You know, we had a whole lesson on being filled in spirit.
Yeah.
You know, it tells us that we would not be drunk with wine in which is dissoluteness, but that we would be filled in spirit. And it tells us how, right? This is singing and psalming to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing, you know, psalming in your hearts to the Lord. That's one way to get filled with the Spirit. We also saw that another way to be filled is to have a thorough confession. Why? Because our conscience is the leading part of our spirit. If our conscience is an offended conscience, we may want to have fellowship with God, but because our conscience is offended, we read the Bible and we don't sense flow. We come to a meeting and we try to exercise, and we don't sense, you know, we're singing the same song we sang last week, and we don't sense the flow of God, it's because there is something obstructing the flow of life. First is the conscience. If we deal with the conscience by confession, then the Lord will flow, and we will be able to have fellowship with God. So this is part of that circuitry I'm talking about. Learn to use your spirit. Learn to pay attention to your spirit. And when you're bothering your conscience, right away turn to the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry I watched that. Lord, I'm sorry I saw that. Lord, I'm sorry I took that. Right away, deal with those sins so that your fellowship with the Lord is not broken. And so that you can follow the Lord in your daily living, in your family life, as you relate to your parents, to your siblings. You start minding the Spirit, you will become a different person. Amen. Your parents will be like, what happened to you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Something happened. God is becoming real to me. And I'm getting to know God. Okay, so we need to be filled in spirit. Ephesians 5:17 through 21 says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Amen. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissoluteness, but be filled in spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and psalming in your hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks at all times for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To our God and Father. Amen. Did you know that a way to be filled in spirit is to give thanks in all things? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for that flat tire. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. You just, something that you think that is very bad, we need to learn to give the Lord thanks for those things. Instead of complaining and murmuring, why me, Lord? Why that? Lord, thank you. It's so hot. I'm soaked. Hallelujah. The Lord may be healing me or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Learn to give thanks in all things. Lord, thank you. Thank you. I didn't get a good grade in that test. Oh, how about that? Then next time, you will study harder, and you will invite the Lord into your studies. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you. I have to do the dishes again. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. If that happens, right? Do you have to do the dishes at home sometimes? Yeah. Sometimes. What's your name? Aaron, come here. Here is Aaron. Okay, this is Aaron before the summer school. Okay, Aaron, do the dishes. Are you happy doing them?
Amen.
Yeah? but he's after the summer school right now. Yeah. Okay, he can't help it. Okay.
What was I supposed to be doing?
Yeah, doing them begrudgingly.
Oh, okay.
Aaron, do the dishes, please, again.
Amen.
After the summer school. Yeah. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord.
Thank the Lord I have to do the dishes again.
Thank you, Lord, that I have to do the dishes again.
Amen. Thank you. You laugh. But why not? He's going to have to do the dishes anyway. Give thanks while you're doing the dishes. And be filled in spirit. It's kind of a no-brainer choice, yeah. Right? Be miserable in yourself and have problems with your parents, or give thanks to the Lord, be filled in spirit, and have a great relationship with your parents. Amen. What do you choose? Choose the Spirit. Amen. Choose to give thanks in everything. Lord, thank you. Oh, Lord. Okay, being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. That's another way to be filled in spirit. I was having lunch, and then a sister came and she said, make sure you clean the table after. So, okay. And then I was the last person. So I just had a definite sense. I am being subject to that sister. She, I could be her daddy. But she's a member of the body. And she has authority. She's serving. And she told me, you know, when you finish, please clean the table. So I obliged her request, and I got filled in spirit. I just went and got a rag. I didn't know where to get the rag, so I went and got a rag, and I cleaned the whole table. And while I'm cleaning the table, I'm getting filled in spirit.
Amen.
Believe it or not. I'm serious. Brothers and sisters, in the summer school, in the church, there are serving ones. In the church, we have brothers and sisters that are younger and older than us. The Bible tells us to be subject one to another, the older to the younger ones and the younger to the older ones. That's biblical. That's a way to be filled in spirit.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I tell a young person, do something, and they just give me a look, and then they just do it, but they don't do it happily. If you are that kind of young person, when somebody asks you to do something, you do it, but you do it begrudgingly, you have a great opportunity to turn those situations into an occasion to be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
You want to experience the Lord in your church life? Be subject to one another. When the brothers ask for volunteers, don't go like, not me. Offer yourself willingly and be happy and be joyful and be filled in the Spirit. In chapter 6, first verse tells us about that. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's a good verse to pray read, right?
Amen.
Children, amen. Put your name there. Oh, Juan, obey your parents in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Aaron, right? Aaron? No, Jacob. Jacob, obey your parents in the Lord. Amen. I didn't hear an amen from Jacob. Jacob, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Amen, Jacob, amen. It could be anyone. How about we all just declare that verse, but with our name on it, right? Jacob. Juan, right? Juan, obey your parents in the Lord. Amen. And then he goes, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a blessing, that you may live long on the earth. You want to live long on the earth? Yes? Honor your father and mother. In your attitude, always honor them. Yes, Mom. Yes, Dad. I love you, Mom. Love you, Dad. Learn. You can be a very positive influence in your home life.
Amen.
By the kind of attitude you have towards your parents and towards your siblings. If you have if you respect them, right? If you obey them and you honor them, that will go a long way in your family life. To have a harmony in the family. And you know what will happen? Your family will become a center of attraction. Believe me, I've seen it. I've gone to homes. Harmony is so beautiful. I see it. And it's just like God is flowing among these people.
Amen.
You know why I'm here? Because I saw that. And I said, I want that. I saw it when I was a 21-year-old. And I was brought into a home where God was there living. And their relationship was one, just full of God. And I thought, man, these people are from somewhere else. I remember sitting at a table. You know Bill Lawson, right? Mm-hmm. Bill and Beth. They had invited David and Debbie Becker for lunch. And we were there with them. And I was sitting there with them. And we were just like maybe like 6 months in the church life. And I was sitting there. And then after we left, I told Helena, hey, those people were shining. That was true. They were shining. God was there in that at that lunch table. God was flowing. And you know what was happening? My heart was being drawn to God by people. You want that in your house? Yes. That's what human beings want. But they have been lied by Hollywood. I'm serious. But they come and see the church life lived out like this. Wow. They want it. And they can have it if it's real to you. Because you're being built together. It's real. It's the church. Okay. Chapter 6, it comes to the matter of praying. Right? After we have gone through all this, then we need to pray. As believers, we need to receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God. How? By means of all prayer and petition, praying sometimes, right? No, praying at every time in spirit and watching unto this with all perseverance and petition, right? We need to, you know, general prayer and petition is a specific prayer concerning specific things. Brothers and sisters, we need to see the church. We need to be built up in the church. We need to be strengthened into our inner man to be filled into the fullness of God. Right? In chapter 4, we need to put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of our mind and put on the new man. Right? And in chapter 5, we need to be filled in spirit. And in chapter 6, we need to pray in our spirit all the time. Pray concerning all the saints. Take the word by means of all prayer. Young people, you're not too young to pray. Amen. You can pray for one another. You can pray for the brothers. You can pray for the sisters. You can pray for your parents. You can pray for your own affairs. This is proper. Praise the Lord for our spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the body of Christ.
Amen.
And our regenerated spirit.
Amen.
Outside the spirit, there is no body. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for my spirit.
Amen.
Lord, build me together with the saints.
Amen.
Build us all together.
Amen.
So that you can gain the bride that you desire.
Amen.
Amen. I stop here. You have some prayer? Let's have some prayer.